And a lot of the times I don't necessarily even feel like I need a break, but if I plan for it and take it, I'm such a better mom and wife than like waiting until I'm totally burned out and like having a breakdown and saying, I need to get away for 2 hours.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about exactly that every single week. Real life, which means some episodes might be about a fight we just had, some episodes might be about potty training since we have two toddlers, and some might be about eschatological realism because I love thinking and talking about deep theological things. And maybe we'll talk about all three of those in one episode. But we hope the show feels like hanging out in our living room with us, drinking a cup of coffee as we discuss faith and family and culture and Jesus. Me and my lovely wife, Alyssa, are your hosts, and don't hesitate to hit us up or reach out on social media to say hi or comment on this week's episode. Enjoy. Guys, we are so stoked you are with us another week. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Feel free to make sure you subscribe, give us a little rating or review. I don't really even care about that, but that's just what everyone says when they do a podcast. So I just thought I would say that. Oh, I'm in a mood. You never when you just you know when you're just in a mood. It's fun.
I feel like you get in a lot of moods.
Oh, in a good way or a bad way?
Good ways.
Let's talk about I think a lot of people ask us kind of like the rhythms of our week. Let's talk about that a little bit this week. Do you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Essentially here rhythms, another way to think of it is like a cadence, just like rhythm with music. That's the perfect way to think about it. Rhythm is like a rhythm in a music. It's the lifeblood of a song. You cannot have a good.
Do you love me?
First of all, you just went from Drake to then you went to like the 1920s circus music. You went. That was like the second half.
All I was thinking of Russell Wilson and
Ciara when they did that. Yeah, guys, if you don't think it's appropriate to watch twerking, do not go watch this video because Ciara pretty much. Twerks
I said, Jeff, do you follow her on Instagram?
I was like, no, of course not. I just saw it on Russell Wilson's. But so if you can't handle twerking, do not go watch this. Her twerking literally like splits the earth in two. But but go back.
Your twerking splits the world.
Mine does too. Mine does too. But go back. Me and Ciara are one and the same. But go back and watch. If you can handle it, go back and watch. Her like during the In My Feelings challenge a couple weeks ago. Go find it on her Instagram or Russell Wilson's Instagram. They both posted the same video. Sorry, our dog's barking if you can hear that. And what's hilarious about theirs is they both hop out of the car to do the challenge and dance, but you can clearly tell Russell Wilson within about 5 seconds makes the choice of like, okay, I am not even going to come close to be able to competing with her dancing. And she's like actually known as like a really good dancer for the last like whatever 20 years since she's been doing music. So you can just see it in his face that he starts kind of getting it. And then within 5 seconds, he totally just goes to the very back of the video and sits down and just lets her dance. It is just hilarious to watch. Like, that is so me of like, yeah, or so.
No, that's me.
Yeah. And then I would be the one twerking. True. But guys, so it's really funny.
Anyway, so.
Oh yeah. Rhythm. It's the life.
She has a lot of rhythm.
It's the lifeblood of a song. It's the thing that is in the song that you're not necessarily like, it's not what you remember the song for. But it's the thing that just hits and hits and hits, right? Over and over again on a perfectly well-timed increment. And I think that's a really good way to think about it. Like your life has to have those things. Your life has to have that underlying, right? Just like rhythm in a song is underlying. It's not the main song. Like your life is the song. The way you're loving God and loving neighbor is the song. But you do have to have the beat or the cadence. Like imagine a song without a beat or a cadence or one that's random. Right. Or when the beat only drops in when it feels like it. Right. Which that's so much what we do without. We don't have rhythms and we just do things that matter when we feel like it. Right. Or on different days or whatever. No, it should be rhythmic. And because here's the thing, guys, whether we like it or not, the world is rhythmic. The world is playing a sort of music. Right. Like it's not a coincidence that in the very first page of the Bible, it is a rhythmic poem of God creating night and day, of sun and moon, of animals and plants, of male and female, and work and rest. Like there is this dance to the bam, 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 like with everything. And so we can submit to that music or can we not submit to that music, right? Like if you go to a high school dance and a song comes on and some guy just kind of starts doing his own dance, but he's not dancing to the rhythm, does that look good or does that look bad? That looks terrible, right? That looks terrible. If someone does not dance to the rhythm, you're like, bro, you got to go. right? And if it's like a certain family at the family cookout or something, you got to be like, you're kicked out of the family. Like, you can't dance. Goodbye.
That's terrible.
And so you have to, so there's a, there is a level when you go to a dance or when you do dance, you have to actually submit to the music. You don't have a choice in changing it. You don't have a choice in creating it. You submit to the music. Now the dance moves you do in the music, do your thing, you know, like pick your, pick your thing, do whatever you want, get creative, but you have to submit to the music at some level. And I think that music analogy and all those things that I just said is a perfect word picture or metaphor analogy. I get those mixed up, whatever. Simile, all that. personifications, bring back to high school English.
Alliteration.
Yes. Of what, how God created the world and how God created you to operate as a single person, as a married person, as a family, as a business, whatever, is that we're created to operate in rhythms and it gives you joy, right? Like when you, again, back to the music, when you dance in rhythm, you feel like you're in the pocket, right? You're like, oh, this is nice. This is good, right? Like it just feels like you almost can't put, you can't like scientifically say this is why, but you just know when you're dancing in rhythm, it feels good. It brings joy. It's flourishing. It's natural. It goes, there's just all these things that just, you just know. And I think with life, when you start submitting to rhythms, you just know, mm-hmm. right? And so, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I'll make a video of it. I'll probably say a lot of the same stuff, but you can, video's a little easier to share than a long podcast if you want to share with friends or talk about it. And I'm going to talk about also kind of the three different concepts of time, but I'm not going to give away those nugs right here. So with that being said, I like what we kind of, I think you have to have daily rhythms, weekly rhythms, and then what I like to call monthly or kind of quarterly or yearly rhythms, like mm-hmm. the big rhythms. And so, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people just ask practically, what are some of ours? So I think quickly the daily ones, and me and Alyssa have a little bit daily rhythms, and especially because you got to do it individually as a family. But I know for me, one of my daily rhythms is I have to get up. I feel out of sync with the music if I'm not getting up. And I'm not the guy that does spend like 2 hours in the word on my face and on my knees praying. I should. Sorry, Lord. But I found that my rhythm is like, I just got to get up and think. And so I'll sometimes just sit there without reading and I'll just think about the Lord or think about our kids or think about Alyssa. And I will read and then I will journal. And I'm just saying like, I don't do this huge, laborious task. But I do have to have that individual time for my rhythm or else I feel out of sync. Then as a family, our meals are a huge anchor points for our rhythms. We are very rhythmic with our meals and our sleep schedule. Cause I think that actually gives the background for the rhythm of eat at the same time and go to the sleep at the same time, you know, as a family. And our rhythms, because of the age of our kids, they nap or are in their room playing like with quiet time from pretty much 1 to 4 or 1 to 3:30. And so, for us, we pretty much have two blocks of the day. We have the 9 to 12 or the 9 to 1 time in the beginning. And then we have kind of the post nap quiet time dinner block. And so we kind of take those two blocks as kind of those two rhythms where it's either an activity in the morning of sorts, and then kind of like a more family hang out in the house, ride the bikes in the street, and then dinner time rhythm with baths and story time. I think that's all I can think of daily. Would you add anything to our daily rhythm? I think people were just asking really practical, not like, don't got to get all spiritual.
And I just was thinking along with that, I was just talking to a friend last night, is I think part of it is knowing you, knowing mm-hmm. What you need in a day, what fills you up, what gives you the strength to do what God is calling you to do, whether it's going to work or being a mom or, being a college student. And I think another word, not another word, but another part of this too is boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like just setting yourself up for to be filled and to have energy and to be at peace. And so what boundaries do you need to set that set you up for that, that set your family up for that? And it takes time to figure those out. And I think sometimes it can be scary because a lot of people don't have boundaries. And so you could think like, oh, if I set this boundary, they won't understand or they won't get it or they'll push back. And it does sometimes take sacrifice because it's like, you know, even just like, for instance, when you have little babies, like nap times, if you're committed to nap time, then you do sacrifice things because you can't just be out and about all the time or staying up till midnight with all your friends all the time because your baby needs to sleep. Yeah. And that just depends on the family and what you feel called to and what you need as a mom and a dad and as what your child needs. But I think just setting boundaries too can really set you up for success and rhythms that fill you up. And at first it can be hard, and at first people may push back or you may be really tempted to be like, oh, well, I have this boundary, but I'll just skip it today, or, you know, or somebody doesn't understand. But then after a while, like people step into it and they get what your family needs or what you need. And then they just respect it, I think. And so for us, when Cannon was first born, one of the boundaries we set was it's just, you know, when a baby comes into the house, it's a lot. Yeah. And everyone wants to show off your baby to everybody, and everybody wants to come visit. But sometimes that can just be really exhausting as a family. And we already had Kinsley. And so we just really wanted time to bond as a family and learn how to do this. And so,
which if you don't live in Hawaii, you don't super understand, but in maybe New York or something. But yeah, like when you live here, you literally get asked by a family member or a friend or something to come visit and say hi or stay with you like every week.
But which yes, we continue. Love.
We yeah, love. We love but it. We love it.
Anyway, I'm just sharing. This is just a
we almost a felt called to it, like, but we had to, yeah, step back.
So we didn't really have many boundaries up until this point. And so this point, we were just like, you know, mornings from 9 to 12, like this is just our family time. We just want to bond together.
Yeah.
And then we had, at the time, Sissy napped from like 1 to 4, which is amazing. And so we needed to nap at that time. Yeah. And then we were free to do whatever at night. And that may sound really rigid to people, mm-hmm. but that was just what we needed when we had a newborn in our home. And that kind of just set us up to be like, oh, we really like this rhythm. This really works well with us. And now, not that we still hang out, like mornings are like when we hang out with people now, but to know that mornings is our chunk of time as family, like that's when we go get errands. I go do errands with the kids, or like intentional play with the kids or play dates or whatever those things. And then nap time or quiet time, which sometimes is like, it's probably about 2 hours. I'm learning. Because before, when Cannon was a baby, mm-hmm. I would, and Jeff stayed home so I could go out and do all my errands during that time, yep. or go get a coffee or go meet up with a friend. And I, about a year ago, I just went, it was like, it was just kind of an emotional time. So I just needed more time to be at home and journal and those things. And Jeff banned me from going out during nap time. He's like, yeah, you just need to be.
It was starting to be too much.
Well, I would come back and be grumpy because I'd be so exhausted. No,
guys, she wasn't grumpy at all. I don't remember that.
I'm kind of ranting, but I'm just kind of sharing with you our story and how it's evolved to what it is now. And so Jeff kind of banned me from going out. And so now I just like nap time is, I'll like get some housework done or prep for dinner, but I always have to lay down for at least a half hour just without my phone, just to like recharge mm-hmm. for the rest of the day. And it's been so healthy. So that's just kind of like, it takes time to figure out your rhythms as a family. Yeah. And it's more as you figure out who you are and what you need. Like, we're both introverts. And so we need that time in the morning to spend quiet. Like, we don't even really talk to each other. We just need our coffee and time with the Lord or getting some work done or whatever it may look like. That's when we exercise. And so anyway, all that to say, your rhythm is not going to look like our rhythm. But it's so healthy to set boundaries for yourself and for your family. And even with your spouse, like Jeff knows that I can't really talk to anyone the first hour I'm awake in the morning because yeah. I just need that quiet time. Yeah.
So I don't talk to her. I just walk up, give her a little butt pinch, give her a little kiss. No, I'm joking.
But anyway, so I just wish I think our culture doesn't teach that. And I was just telling my friend yesterday, like, I so wish I knew this in yeah. college or right after college, because I just felt like,
well, it's healthy.
I was single and I had so much
sustainable.
Yes, I had so much to do, and I should just say yes to everybody and do everything and help in every way. And I was burned out so many times. Yeah. And I felt like I had to be like my friend who was totally different than me and could do everything. And I just yeah. don't have as much energy. And now in this season of our lives, I just really, really value our rhythm and our boundaries. And I feel like yeah. it really fills us up so that when we are with other people, we can really pour out to them, invest in them, have really intentional time with yeah. them. We can really have intentional time with our kids. And I feel like they feel safe and secure because they know the rhythm. Yeah. They know like what,
totally. The kids kinda like love the schedule. It. They look forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids are creatures of habit and schedule and rhythm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not to say like once in a while, we'll
totally
throw it out the window. Or, yeah.
And then it makes it a really special treat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I think too, like with what you said, with like, you can also you invite other people into your life rhythm. So it's like, hey, mm-hmm. let's go on this thing once a year that we do. You come with us, or hey, come over for our Sabbath dinner. Oh, hey, come over during our little morning block that we have, rather than trying to disrupt your rhythms when you feel like an opportunity arises. Like, invite people into your rhythms. But yeah, so that's daily. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. Daily rhythms, daily are I think more just for like really mundane, like anchoring, allowing you to flourish, to not burn out, kind of preventing burnout. and just making you really sustainable. So
yeah.
Another way to think about it too is like, I was almost thinking about it like bowling bumpers, right? Like the bumpers. Rhythms are almost the things that protect you, your life from going in the gutter, right? It just keeps the ball going back towards the middle and the center. But I think they're even better than that because it's not just about protecting your life from going off the rails. The bumpers themselves give you meaning, like, which in bowling, they don't give you meaning. They don't like, right? You don't get any points if you hit the, but like the rhythms themselves do give meaning and have richness and depth to them. Hey guys, Jeff here. I want to take a quick break out of this week's episode, talk about one of this week's sponsors, and that is Legacy Box. Now, I have an amazing and really cool story of how this came about. So about 2 months ago, Alyssa came to me with a huge box, literally, that her mom had given her that was basically just a treasure trove of old pictures and a vinyl in there from back in the day from her family. Video, like it was just basically videos and things and old pictures. We even had some dating back to the 1800s in Alyssa's family. And you know how excited I probably was because we talk about it on this podcast all the time. One of the best tools for building a family team is to believe in a multi-generational legacy. And so we were stoked on that. We were, you know, keeping them and we've hung them up in the house and all over the living room. But then right after that, Legacy Box came along and wanted to start a relationship with us. And they do the coolest thing. What they literally do is Legacy Box created and gives you a service, a mail-in service, that essentially allows you to send all your stuff, whether it's photos you have, whether it's VHS tapes you have when you were doing gymnastics as a kid, or from your grandparents, or a tape of your parents' voice or singing, whatever it is, you send it all into them and they digitize everything and give it to you and give it back to you basically in an organized, beautiful, incredible way. And here's a couple reasons why I love them and why they're amazing. First of all, they're the biggest company that does things like this. And so they are specialized in it. They're professional and they take extra, extra good care every step of the way with your precious pictures and tapes and historical markers. And that's why I love them. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They have over a decade of experience. All the work is done by hand right here in the US. You get personalized updates every step. So you receive, like, I think it's up to 12 personalized email updates while you're going through the process of just, this is what we're doing. We have your stuff. This is what the next step is, etc. And it's super, super awesome. So we want to hook you guys up. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. And it was so cool with the timing that it happened for us. And maybe you have a box sitting there. And I just really want to encourage you guys to actually do this for the legacy and generations of your family to pass down. So visit legacybox.com today to get started. And what you can do is, for a limited time, they're offering you guys, the Real Life Podcast listeners, an exclusive discount. So if you go to legacybox.com/love, you get 40% off your first order, or you save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. So again, go to legacybox.com/love and save 40% today and get started preserving your past. So that's our daily rhythms, weekly rhythms. We have a couple every week. We do a family Sabbath. We've talked about that. You can go find that somewhere. I don't want to expand on that a ton to bore you guys since we talk about it. But yeah, essentially we throw a party once a week. That's the best way to define it. And that party is defined by what fills us and what makes us rest. So many times people see that as a burden or a pressure, or they say like, you gotta, oh man, I have to take a whole, no. If you're even framing it like that, you're not doing it right. The Jewish Sabbath, the Jewish Shabbat is a party. We are going to throw a rager for 24 hours, one day a week. And in some sense, Jewish theology says that it actually is their highest holiday, not because it's the one with the most, meaning, that would probably be Yom Kippur in their holiest day. But it's their highest holiday because they celebrate it. It's the only holiday they celebrate 52 times a year. So think about a Christmas that you celebrate 52 times a year. That's a holiday I want, right? So our family Sabbath, that's huge. That's important. And then we try to hit like three things on our rhythm every week, or four things. It's a date night. It's a kids dates where we try to spend like a small, non-huge committed, like we're committed to our kids. I'm just saying, like, you don't have to spend 19 hours a week with just like, we're going on a fishing trip for 4 days every week. Like, no, you can't do that. And kids don't really even need that. You spend 45 minutes with your phone off, looking at your kid's eyes, playing a board game or playing baseball, separate from the other siblings without the other parent. That is, and you do that once a week. That is incredible and so special for both people. So we do that. We do a kids, here, let me back up actually. So one of our rhythms is what we call our business meeting. So usually on Sundays, me and Alyssa sit down, and that's where like, it literally looks like a business. Like, she gets out her planner. I get out my phone for the calendar. We kind of go through this. We just talk about, okay, where are we going to hit? What does our week look like? What are our plans? But before we start scheduling a bunch of things, we do our top priorities, which is making sure we hit our weekly rhythms. And our weekly rhythm is, when is our date night? When are we going to go on dates with kids? And for Alyssa, it's when is Alyssa going to get a break? She needs at least one time a week where she gets away while they're awake. So it's not just like her, like, you know, getting a break while they're napping. And going on a break where she just can like rest and journal and pray and think and get just like away from the strenuousness that is motherhood of like in the trenches and all that. So that's what we say. Business. We have a business meeting once a week. We go over our week. We say, when are we doing a Sabbath? Well, we know when we're doing Sabbath. So we don't say that. We say, when are we doing our date night? When are we doing dates with the kids? When is Alyssa getting a break? Boom. We set those. Then we talk about, okay, who are we having over for dinner this week? What's your week look like? Who are you meeting up with? How much work do you have to do, Jeff? What do you, stuff like that. But you got to do the big rhythms first or else they'll never fit in.
Yeah.
Always start your week with, where are we going to do our big rhythms, and then let everything else fall around that. Because if you reverse it, then your big rhythms start to go by the wayside. But would you say anything for the weekly rhythms?
That's good.
What's your?
Well, and I just think the important thing about that we've learned is. Oh.
Guys, I just totally tried to reach for something, and I think we might have a video of that. I totally just like started to fall, and my chair fell. So that's, if you were wondering. What that was. Woo.
No, I just think those things are the things that go by the wayside. And so if you can plan those out at the beginning of the week, a lot of times I don't necessarily even feel like I need a break. But if I plan for it and take it, I'm such a better mom and wife mm-hmm. than like waiting till I'm totally burned out and like having a breakdown and saying, I need to get away for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you have to, the rhythms are trying to beat the burnout to the punch.
Yeah.
You're trying to fill yourself back out, but up before you ask for one when you're drowning, mm-hmm. right?
Or even sometimes, some weeks I'm like, I don't really feel like I need a date night with Jeff because—
Totally. It's kind of like vacations.
Connected. But then once we go out, I'm like, this was so good. Totally. Even if it's just like this last week, we just saw a movie and we didn't even necessarily talk, but it was just like, this is fun just to get out and totally. Be with you.
Well, it's kind of like vacations, like marriages. There's marriages that go on vacations because they're like burnt out from 50 weeks of working and they think that vacation is going to save them. Or they go on vacations because it's helpful and it's a good rhythm and it gets them away to disconnect while they're still okay.
Yeah. Those I just are two feel like totally they're different so healthy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, but those things you have to plan out before the week starts or else yes. they don't happen.
Or else boom goes the dynamite.
And I think it just helps you then to be, we've talked a lot about this, but helps you a lot to be on the same page as your husband, to like know what to expect. If that you are having a really hard day as a mom, you know, okay, in 2 days I'll have a break. So it's, yes. I can push through or, you know, maybe a certain week is extra busy for your husband. Mm. You're like, okay, I'm expecting this. I know it's going to just, maybe I need to ask for more help or I just need to sleep more this week or prep some more meals because this week is going to be harder or I'm not going to have as much yeah. help. So just being able to talk about those things on your business meeting are so helpful. By the way,
that
guys, helpful.
That takes about 15 minutes. Like it's about
the most.
Yeah, the business meeting is like a 15-minute meeting. So we're not saying you got to, you know, call in a babysitter or phone it in or whatever. But
order lunch.
But it's crazy how 15 minutes can radically transform the week.
You know what I wish we had right now?
Let me guess. Mint chocolate chip ice cream.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so we do not have Panera in Maui. But
did you just see they start doing a double bread bowl?
Well, how do you
double do, bread bowl?
How do you dough double?
So it's kind of like, don't think like the bread bowl. Think like almost not a baguette. What do you call that? It looks like a loaf of bread, but like it's oval. It's oval, circle. So it's oval, and then they
like
dig
extra bread,
and then they dig two holes, and you get two different soups because it's like oval. So there's a
see, now
there's
I just
a hole.
Made it worse.
Kind of
I just
almost,
wish we.
It almost looks like a dog dish. You know, how dog dishes yes. are like oval, and then there's the two holes. But you get
I just really want, because this morning is our work morning, and so we don't have the kids, and we're working hard, and I mean, we're just sitting here talking,
looking
out.
You want a business
out.
Lunch. You want Panera.
I want a business lunch. I want Panera to deliver to my door.
Oh, you know.
But we live in Maui.
Where there isn't one. Is there? No, there's no Panera. Yeah,
I don't think there's one in Oahu.
Huh.
Okay, anyway, so that's our weekly.
Weekly rhythms. And then yearly rhythms, guys, those ones are really, those are like what I talked about with like, I jumped the gun a little bit with like the Christmases of like, what are your family's Christmases, right? Now, for us, like we've talked about on previous ones, we're going to start leaning into the Jewish feasts and some of the Jewish celebrations this year. You got Sukkot coming up in September, stuff like that. We got like our family summit, which is us kind of getting away. And right now that pretty much just means kind of a weekend where we maybe get away and short and we just kind of ask, you know, me and Alyssa kind of debrief and look forward, et cetera. But I think when the kids are older, then it'll be a lot more of like a little bit heavier, like incorporation of the kids. What are their dreams? What are their visions, et cetera? But they're at the age now where they can contribute a little, but it's mainly just me and Alyssa kind of debriefing, looking back on the year, looking forward on the year. So family summit, you got the feasts,
holidays.
Well, that's yeah.
But birthdays.
Birthdays and like, and infuse those with meaning. I think a lot of American holidays don't have a ton of meaning. And even sometimes birthdays just go by the wayside, but infuse those with meaning. So we have birthday traditions, whether that's, you know, going around and saying one thing we love about that person's birthday or what we appreciate about them, or one way, five top memories or what they grew from this year, or, and then the summit has certain things and then the holidays have certain things. So the yearly ones are yearly, kind of like your big stakes in the ground.
Mm-hmm. That your kids will remember. Like
that. Totally.
My family did this. Yes. Growing
infuse
up.
Them really with tradition, special. Make them super unique and creative. Mm-hmm. And guys, another reason.
You don't have to have a lot of money to do those things.
No, no, it's what I'm saying. Or like, any just money. Lean into it and just make it fun, right? And even like the biblical feasts, like the reason I don't necessarily think that everyone needs to do those, but I also think like.
They're already there.
It's sure as heck a lot less work to do those than invent some holiday. Mm-hmm. Like last time I checked, I can't invent one. Like my mind does not work like
and
that.
And they're like about the Lord. And that's so what I mean. It's just a really easy way to teach your
meaning,
kids about the Lord.
They're deep. They're time tested mm-hmm. for thousands of years mm-hmm. with an insane amount of resources on activities and things and ways you can adapt and change. They're from the scriptures. They're about infusing real life and meals and symbols with the Lord, which is what evangelicals need more of. We're so much in our brain and separate from our body. I could go on and on and on. It's like, why would you not do that?
And this has nothing to do with our lives.
That's so much better. Like, I would much rather celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles than St. Patrick's Day. Maybe that's just me. Okay.
Well, we're not Irish.
Actually, St. Patty actually has some serious Christian. Oh, yeah. Anyway, that was a bad example anyways, because the real St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick
was
actually
beer and corned beef.
Yes. St. Patrick was a boss, but continue.
And this isn't about our family, but even with our small group. So we started our small group in the spring. And so just a few weeks ago, we kind of were like, okay, this year is kind of wrapping up. It was a little more than a year, and we just had been noticing things. And so we're like, you know, let's just like take a couple small groups and reflect on this last year. And we had people do like a anonymous survey. We asked them some questions about what they thought we could grow in, or what was working, what wasn't working, what they enjoyed about small group, what they didn't. If anything needed to be talked about that hadn't been talked about, like, you know, sin issues or whatever. And then we spent one small group talking about all those things. And because we had had these anonymous surveys done previous to it, we were able to prep for it and really prepare and like lead the meeting well. And people were able to really say what they wanted to say without and coming prepared to talk about it. And then the following week, we did a really special evening of just really encouraging each other and building one another up. And so what we did is each couple got a 3x5 card. Well, 8 3x5 cards, because there's 9 couples in our group. And each wife wrote a note to every wife there. And each husband wrote a note to every husband there. And then we just went around the room and like talked about each person and what was on our card, what we saw, areas of growth in them, or what we really admired about them, or strengths that they have. And so it was just, anyway, all that to say, like, it was just like a year, and it was so good for our small group. It really just kind of ended out the year. We could really reflect on what the Lord did. We could really talk about maybe sin issues that we need to put away, or areas we need to grow in, and talk about like, okay, let's do this now in this next coming year. It just like really made a good wrapping up of mm-hmm. the year, and didn't cause for burnout, because now we can look forward to this next year with like, we all know what we're expecting. We all are on the same page. And we also ended with like, hey, we all really love each other. And these are areas that we see God working in our lives. And I think all that to say, like, businesses have summits, businesses have team meetings, they have year-end reviews.
Totally.
So why don't we do that in our families? Yeah. And why don't we do that in our marriages? And why don't we do that even in small groups? I think it's so healthy, and it just takes a lot. People don't talk about it, and it takes a lot of, you know, it does take intentionality and planning forward.
Yeah.
But when we do it, it's so, so good.
Yeah. Well, I think, and we'll end with this, guys. Hopefully this is helpful. So we get so many questions on this. I hope this and the video that we put out, just finally gets super practical for you guys. Cause I know sometimes people just go, what even is that? Or what are rhythms? Like, talk about that. So hopefully this helped, but also, don't feel, I think so many times people hear this stuff and they feel pressure to just like totally change their life and turn.
Right.
It's a pursuit of joy.
Yeah.
And it takes years, because
it
it's very much
time.
Rhythms are practices, and practices take, say it with me, practice. right?
Well, even like our Shabbat. Yeah. I feel probably
a 2.5-year journey. Totally.
We're just now settling in where we like.
We know exactly how it's like.
And
how,
we're still
what works,
figuring
what doesn't.
Things out. But it took us a really long time to be like, okay, this works. Yes, this doesn't slowly work. This fills us up. This doesn't. Yes.
It's 100. This is 100% a trial and error thing. Like the world is your oyster. The whiteboard is out. Make ideas. Try it. It sucks. Don't do it ever again. Try a different one. Hey guys, you know what that sound was? That was the sound of us admitting failure. This is Jeff from the future, like 2 weeks ahead of when we recorded that podcast you just listened to let you know it cut off at the end and we lost the last couple minutes of the podcast. So sorry about that. But the good news is I think we only had about 2 more minutes of talking that was probably irrelevant and us just bantering back and forth anyways. And so I just hope that the podcast resonated with you. I hope it encouraged you. Let us know on social media. We love hearing from you guys on Instagram comments. Me and Alyssa both tend to do like 1 or 2 posts the first day or two of the podcast releasing. That's a really great place in the comments for discussion on the podcast theme. Or you can DM us or email us or hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. We'd love to hear from you guys. Hashtag is the Real Life Podcast, and we will see you next week.